those of you that have been coming on Wednesday night, and I appreciate everybody that comes on Wednesday night. I don't know if you noticed, but we set a new record for our Wednesday night attendance this past month. We averaged 65 for the month of October, more than we've ever averaged on a Wednesday night. I can remember when 65 was a good crowd on Sunday morning, and it hadn't been that long ago. But those of you that have been coming on Wednesday night know that we've been studying the book of Ephesians, and the book is divided into two parts. Chapter 1 through 3 talk about and remind us of the riches that we have, or the wealth that we have in Christ. It's more doctrinal part of the book. And then the second part, chapters 4 through 6, is how we ought to walk because of the wealth that we have. It's a more practical part of the book. And I try to say every week that what we have, the wealth that we have in Christ and what he's done for us, ought to affect the way that we walk. And we've been in chapter 4 the last 3 weeks on Wednesday night, and we've covered through verse 29. And tonight we're just going to look at one verse, verse 30, where the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Tonight I have three main points. And those points talk about how three different ways that we grieve the Holy Spirit. But before I get to those three points, I want to share three other things. And I don't want to call them points, because then I'll have a six-point message. And if you add them to the seven that I had this morning, you would say, man, 13 points in one day. That's the equivalent of 4 1/3 sermons. And so I'm not calling them points tonight. I just want to say three things before I get to my 3 points. So I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, but they're not points, okay, just so we're all together. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person. Not a human being kind of person, but a person of the Godhead, just as much as God the Father and God the Son. Some people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Some people say that the Holy Spirit is just an influence from God, or they say it's an impersonal force or an energy from the Almighty. And I'll point out to you tonight that you cannot grieve an influence. You cannot grieve an impersonal force or an energy from the Almighty. It takes someone who has a heart to be grieved. And if the Holy Spirit is not a person of the Godhead, like God the Father and God the Son, then he can't be grieved. But this verse tells us that he can be grieved. And so he is a person. And too many of us don't think of him that way. I mean, it's easy for us to think about God the Father. It's easy for us to think about God the Son. And we mention those names, and we understand that they are persons of the Trinity, persons of the Godhead. And it's harder for us to picture the Holy Spirit that way. And so tonight, before I get to my points about how we grieve him, I want to remind you that he is just as much a person of the Godhead as God the Father and God the Son. Number two, again, this is not a point, just the second thing I want to say, the Holy Spirit loves us. I was convicted this week. I don't ever remember preaching a sermon on the love of the Holy Spirit. I preached a lot of sermons on the love of God. That God had loved us while we were yet sinners. That God loved us so much that he gave us his Son to die in our place. I preached a lot of sermons on the love of Christ. He loved us enough to leave heaven. He loved us enough to die in our place. He bore the shame and the pain of the cross. His body was broken. His blood was spilt, as we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Not friends, but when we were enemies of God. God wasn't our enemy, but we were enemies of him. And I guess I've never really stopped to think how much, and I want you to think about it tonight with me. Think about how much the Holy Spirit loves you. He loved you enough to woo you to Christ. He loved us enough to work in us the salvation that God the Father and God the Son made possible. And I'll just tell you tonight, for most of us, the large majority of us, we did not get saved the first time we heard the gospel. I mean, we just didn't hear it the first time and get saved. Maybe some of you did, but I would say that you're in the minority, the small minority. Most of us had to hear it over and over and over again. And maybe the first time that we heard the gospel, we said, I don't want any part of this. I just don't want nothing to do with it. And we told the person that told us about Jesus, and in effect told the Holy Spirit, just leave me alone. Don't bother me. I'm not interested in this. And yet the Holy Spirit loved us enough to not give up. And he kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back because he loved us. And he loves us. If he didn't love us, we couldn't grieve him. You know, you can't grieve an enemy. You can't. You can't grieve somebody that's indifferent to you. An enemy or somebody that doesn't care anything about you, they don't care what you do. They don't care how you treat them. The only people that we can grieve are people that love us. We can grieve our mothers. We can. And usually the measure of her grief, our mother's grief, is the measure of her love. The deeper she loves us, the more that we can grieve her. The word grieve in Ephesians 4:30 is the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 26, verse 37, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he expressed grief and sorrow and agony. Same word. And the Holy Spirit loves us so much that we can grieve him. We can grieve him. And then the third thing I want to say before I get to my three points is that the Holy Spirit seals us. He seals us. That verse says it. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We got sealed the day that we got saved. The moment you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the moment you were born again, the moment you realized that you were a sinner and that Jesus paid the price for you, your sin, and the moment you asked him to save you, the Holy Spirit moved in and sealed you until the day of redemption. Say, preacher, when's the day of redemption? It's the day that you die, or it's the day that we're called up to heaven in the rapture. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are made secure by the Holy Spirit. Our salvation is protected by the Holy Spirit until that day. And when Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, his motivation to the Ephesians was not fear. I mean, he did not tell them that, hey, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God because the day of wrath is coming. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God because the judgment of God is coming. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God because he loves you so much that he seals you and secures you until that day. No one but a child of God, no one but a Christian can grieve the Holy Spirit. A lot of people resist him. They resist his wooing to the Savior. They resist him calling them to Christ. But only a child of God can grieve him. And that brings me to my three points tonight. Three ways that we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, we can disregard his presence within us. We can disregard his presence. The moment we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. The moment we got saved, he became a guest in our body. He indwells us. He abides with us forever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16, the Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, every single one of us as Christians need to get a hold of that truth. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, has taken up residence in our bodies. And we grieve him when we don't acknowledge his presence. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's say you had a guest come to your house. Let's say your mom decided to come and stay with you for a period of time. Wanda's getting ready to go to Florida to be with her daughter, Tanya. And she was telling me today she's leaving in a couple weeks and probably be gone till March. And we'll miss her, but it's warm down there and she'll get to be with Tanya. But let's say your mom was coming to visit you. She's going to stay for a few weeks. Let's say your dad was going to come and visit with you and stay for a few weeks. Let's say a grandparent, your grandma or your grandpa was going to come and visit and stay with you for 3 or 4 weeks. Or a dear friend, anybody. I mean, you pick the example that speaks to your heart. And they came to your home. They came as your guest. And then you ignored them. You didn't set a place at the table for them and invite them to eat when you sat down to eat. You didn't provide a bed for them to sleep in. You didn't include them in any of your activities. You just went on with life like they weren't there. You didn't talk to them. You didn't acknowledge their presence in any way. I'll tell you what would happen if you did that. And I don't care if your guest was your mom, your dad, or your grandpa or grandma. What would probably happen is they'd pack their bag and leave. They'd leave. I want to tell you tonight, the Holy Spirit can't go. The Holy Spirit can't leave. He will stay whether we acknowledge him or not. He will stay whether we welcome him or not. And most of us, if we were honest with ourselves, we would say that most days in our life, most times in our life, we don't even acknowledge his presence. And most of us not only ignore him, but we do things that hurt him. You know, if your mom came to visit for a while, you might try to clean up your act. I mean, you might not fuss as much with your spouse if your mom was visiting with you. You might not fuss as much with your kids if your mom was visiting you. You might not watch the same TV shows or read the same magazines or play the same computer games. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells with us. He is our constant guest. And not only do we not acknowledge him, but we do things that hurt him. We harbor the sin that so easily besets us. We harbor the sin that's so hard for us to get rid of. And God, part of the same God, who when God the Son hung on the cross and bore our sin, had to turn his back on his only begotten Son because he couldn't bear to see the sin. That same God, a person of that God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. And we not only don't acknowledge his presence, but we keep sin in our life that hurts him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We grieve him when we disregard his presence. Number two, we grieve him when we distrust his word. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't believe him. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we doubt that we're saved and when we doubt the kind of God that we have. I'll tell you what the world needs now. The world needs now a group of Christians that know that they are saved and know that they have a God in heaven that has a mighty hand. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John writes, "These things have I written that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Not that you can have hope, not that you can think, not that maybe that it's true, but that ye can know that ye have eternal life. John wrote, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Jesus said, "He that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and is passed from death unto life." And it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God, and as a child of God, we have a God in heaven whose hand is mighty, who will do for us the things that we talked about this morning. He answers prayer. He makes a way when we can't find any other way. He defeats our enemy. He supplies our every need. He keeps his promise, and he is just as good in death as he is in life. Which of those things do you doubt? Which of those things do you think that God cannot or will not do? The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God, and we grieve him when we don't trust what he tells us about our God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We grieve him when we disregard his presence. We grieve him when we distrust his word. And we grieve him when we disobey his counsel or command. Holy Spirit's our guide. He's our helper to understand the Bible. He's our helper to understand God's will for our life. Sometimes he leads. Sometimes he pushes. He counsels. He commands. And we grieve him when we disobey, when we don't listen to him. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." This is the Apostle Paul writing. This is the one who was saved on the road to Damascus. This is the one that God called to a mighty work. He was a preacher, he was a teacher, he was a church builder. God used him to write over half the New Testament. And he says, this is the Apostle Paul talking. And my point's going to be, if the Apostle Paul had to do it, how much more do we need to do it? Paul says, "I got to keep after myself. I got to keep after my body. I got to bring it under subjection to the Holy Spirit. I have to keep reminding myself and discipline myself to know that He is my boss, He's my supervisor, He's my overseer, and I have to discipline myself and bring myself under the subjection of the Holy Spirit so that I will obey. I obey. And so he says, I have to teach myself. I have to discipline myself. Now look, that's what every parent wants for their child. We discipline our children because we want them to obey. And one of the ways your children please you is their obedience. I mean, and if you're here tonight and you're a kid, the best way that you can please your parents is to be obedient. Just whatever they say to do, just do it. Don't be like Ford and have a better idea. Just be obedient. Don't argue. Don't put it off. Just be obedient. Do exactly what mom and dad say when they say to do it, in the way they say to do it, with a good attitude. I mean, there's not a parent here tonight that wouldn't be pleased as punch if they had a child that did that every time. And that's a purpose for disciplining our children. That's a purpose for training them. And that's what Paul said. I've got to train myself. I've got to discipline myself. I've got to remind myself that I need to bring myself in subjection to the Holy Spirit. We do it to our pets, don't we? Those of you that have dogs. Can't do anything with the cat. Sorry, Judy. But those of you that have dogs, I mean, you train them. And you're a proud, pleased pet owner when your pet, your dog, obeys your commands. Now, I mean, and you just don't say to your dog the first time you bring him into the house, well, go outside when you got to do your business. Doesn't work that way. You got to train them. You got to discipline them. And the Apostle Paul was saying, I have to discipline myself. I have to bring myself under subjection of the Holy Spirit. He said in another place, he says, I have to buffet my body daily. Now, we've confused that verse. Some of us say, well, I have to buffet my body daily. That's not what it means. He said, I have to buffet my body daily. I have to, he said, I beat myself so that, and he says, this is what I want. When the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, I want it to be a habit. I don't want to think about it. I just want to do it. I want it to be a habit. I don't want to have to think about it. I don't want to have to debate with him. When the Holy Spirit leads me to do something, without even thinking about it, I just want to do it. I just want to do it. And he says, I have to discipline myself to bring myself under subjection of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. A lot of people read that verse and think that Paul was talking about losing his salvation. He wasn't talking about losing his salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You didn't do nothing to get saved except accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you can't do nothing to lose it. Amen? Amen. A castaway is somebody, if you look at the word, it means disqualified. It means I can't do what God wants me to do in my life because I have grieved the Holy Spirit so much in disobeying Him that God has to finally say, I can't use you anymore. Can't use you anymore. Jesus talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount. Same thing. When he said in Matthew chapter 5, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And if we continually ignore the commands and the counsel of the Holy Spirit, we run the risk of God saying, I can't use you anymore. So, as I close tonight, let me ask you. Are you resisting the Holy Spirit? If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit is that still small voice that speaks in your mind and speaks in your heart that tells you that you are a sinner, that there is a penalty for that sin, and that Jesus Christ paid the penalty on Calvary's cross. And if you ask him, he will save you. And the Holy Spirit is that part of God that comes to every sinner, because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the Holy Spirit is that part of God that came to each one of us that are saved tonight and made us understand that we were sinners. And the only hope that we had was to trust Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, he's doing that for you right now. And I know what you might be saying, oh, no, preacher, he's not doing that to me. You're lying. He is. He loves you. And just as much as God the Father and God the Son, he wants you to go to heaven. Are you resisting him tonight? Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just come to Jesus Christ and ask him to be your Savior? Let me ask you a second question. Are you grieving the Holy Spirit tonight? Do you acknowledge his presence? None of you. I don't know. Some of you I've just met, and I don't know a lot about you. But here's what I'd say about every single one of you. Nobody would have a guest come to their house and treat them like I talked about a moment ago. I don't believe a person here would do that. I believe you'd set a place at the table. I believe you'd give them a nice place to sleep. I believe that you would include them in your activities. You would talk to them. You would make them feel welcome. Not a person here, I believe, would ignore a guest in your home. And yet we live so many days of our life without acknowledging that the Holy Spirit resides in us. And we worry and we doubt. And we don't know, like that verse talked about this morning, we don't know that we have a God with a mighty hand. And that he still answers prayer, and he still provides a way, and he still does all that stuff that we talked about this morning. Are you grieving the Holy Spirit? Then stop. Stop. Or are you like Paul writes later in Ephesians chapter 5 when he says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Every part of your life yielded to him. Letting him take charge of every decision. Letting him live through you. Resisting is not good. If you resist long enough, you'll end up in the devil's hell. Grieving is not good. If you grieve too long, you run the risk of being cast away. Being filled is good, because it means that God's got you and the Holy Spirit is living through you. And just like Brother Leonard talked about in the Sunday school lesson this morning, that purpose that we have in the Christian life, that purpose that God made us for, we can live in that purpose and do exactly what God wants us to do. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that for a book like Ephesians, where you tell us how much you loved us and everything you did for us, and then you tell us how it should impact our life. And I pray tonight that we get a fresh appreciation for the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would know that he does dwell within us, and that we would acknowledge his presence every moment of our life. I pray that we trust him and trust the witness that he bears to our spirit. And then, Father, I pray we'd be obedient, that we get to that point in our life that Paul talked about where when he says, do it, we don't even think about it. We just do it. Help us to be filled with him tonight. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that's resisting the Holy Spirit, that tonight they'd put down their guard. They'd see their sin and they'd see the Savior. And tonight they'd come and ask Jesus to save them. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.